here. So David's going to give us a perspective and look into the financial matters. And he is the treasurer on the board of directors. Thank you, Mr. Striebel.
Thank you, Jill. I'm David Striebel, the treasurer of Kadampa Center, one of the board members. And a couple of times a year, at least, we try to do a presentation about our finances because, as we often say, our center depends on generosity. That's the only way we pay the bills. So now for a few minutes, I'm going to talk about, well, how big are the bills and how are we doing at paying them, things like that, and then kind of get geared up for the annual appeal for next year. So just to start off with here, I had a lovely photo of Geshe Sangpo with the refuge class that occurred last May, where we have enthusiastic new members coming to join us. And now today's subjects, I'm just going to speak about our organizational form, the financial results for this year to date, and then some information about next year's annual appeal. So I know many of you, those of you who have been here for years, have seen this slide before where I talk about how we're a North Carolina corporation, a nonprofit charitable organization like other churches are, and we're managed by a board of directors led by Robbie Watkins, our center manager. I'm not sure if... Center director, he's not here. And Sandy Carlson is our president. I'm David Striebel, the treasurer. Royden Saw is the secretary, and there are six more members on the board. You can see all their names and pictures out there above the shoe rack out there in the back. And so every year it's the duty of the board to have a teaching program, figure out what the teaching program should be and supervise that in a general way, and also to supervise our finances. So we have to create a budget, and we have to have appeals for donations, and above all, we have to try to make sure that income equals expense. So launching right into a discussion of the year to date, here's a list of six big categories of income. And this is as of the latest latest month end where we have financial results on the books so far. But what it shows is that the annual appeal, that is monthly giving by people and one-time gifts, have amounted to about $96,000 so far this year, which is 70% of all our income. So the annual appeal is the single biggest thing we do, where people make a commitment for the year or they pledge to make one-time gifts, and then those flow in over the year. Our other sources of income are all much smaller, like general giving. That means if people throw dollars in the plastic boxes out back, we have no idea who they were. We can't attribute it to anybody. We just call that general giving. And we have a few memorials and honoraria. Our spiritual program donations are about 9 or 10%. That's dollars given for visiting teachers and puja sponsorships and retreat costs. And I know there's one other category there. I can't remember. Then we have bookstore income. Bookstore, yes, Dharma classes. That's also a contributor there to the spiritual program. Bookstore income is 8 or 9% of our income. And then the children's program and camp, that takes quite a lot of money to run. It comes from parents mostly. And miscellaneous, so we've come up to $138,000 there so far this year. So now let's look at the expenses for the year. And as at most churches, our personnel is our biggest cost, and that's 55%, 56% of the expenses. That's two Geshes and two staff members, our center manager and our office manager, who's part-time. Spiritual program expenses mean the expenses of having pujas and retreats and classes. committee expense is mostly the children's camp, but also the prison project, where our members go out and give away books and things at prisons. Facility operating expense, about 20% of the money, that's paying our mortgage and all our utility bills, keeping the center maintained. Administrative expense is office expenses, like for computers and software, things like that. Bookstore cost of goods. Well, we can't sell stuff unless we buy it, so about three-quarters of all the money that we make at the bookstore actually has to go to buy the things we sell. And the volunteers contribute their effort, and we make a modest profit every year there. So that comes up to $177,400, and that number is quite a lot bigger than the income for this year. In fact, it's $39,300 different. And that is certainly a concern. It's not unprecedented. Often here around this time of the year, giving is lagging behind some, and then there's a big surge of annual giving at about the annual appeal time, November, December. So if you wonder why I haven't abandoned my job and headed for the hills due to the deficit, we have seen deficits like this before. It's something we really need to try to do something about in the next 3 months here, by the end of the year. I'll give you a few more facts about it, too. But there is reasonable hope that we can do it. I believe we will. So let's summarize the year then. $138,000 income, $177,000 in expense through August 31st, deficit $39,000. So those are the facts for this year to date. Income's about 78% of expenses, and we're hoping for a year-end surge of giving. Now, after that grim news, let's talk about a few good items here. A year ago, we owed First Citizens Bank $74,000 on our mortgage, and now we owe $54,000 because we keep paying every month, just like we're supposed to, and we're due to pay off the mortgage in about 30 months. We have been in this building for 11 years. We've had a couple of different mortgages. We've renegotiated a time or two, but I don't believe we're going to be doing that again. I think we're just going to keep on paying for the next 30 months, unless there was a happy occasion where some member said, hey, we'd really like to help you pay it off, in which case we would apply that to the mortgage. And they could even make a gift of the whole thing. So here's another point of good news this year. After years of wishing to do so, we actually started an IRA retirement plan for our four employees. And all four are participating, and we have Vanguard Investments managing it. And so every month employees can contribute part of their pay, and then the center kicks in. It's costing us about $2,000 a year in contributions from the center. So that's good news there. So our current financial situation, which is rather sobering, is as of a couple days ago, we had $11,000 in our checking account and $15,000 in our savings account, and that's basically all of our available funds. And this checking balance is only enough to pay the bills for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Our expenditures are about $22,000 a month in total. So it is a concern that the checking balance has sunk that low. And we were trying to reserve our savings account for special Dharma-related projects, but our funds are so low, I've had to tap it just this last month to help pay the bills and get through to the surge of giving that we hope will be occurring during the annual appeal and erase the deficit. And Yes, the board would certainly like to, if we can achieve a little better situation, put the money back in the savings account. It was really reserved in our minds for big projects like buying the Lama Atisha statue or possibly some other spiritually related thing here at the center. And I should mention, what about the, you know, hopes for erasing the deficit? We do have a wide variety of financial situations among our members, and some have a good deal of money and some really don't. And of course, we want to provide our programs to everyone regardless of that. But we do have, for example, if you were thinking of a large gift and you thought, well, I'd be crazy to give X thousands of dollars, I'd really be, you know, way out there, other people don't do that. Every year we normally receive some sort of gift of about $20,000 from someone. And every year we usually receive $10,000 from two or three people. And we receive $5,000 from more people than that. So if you do happen to be in possession of money and would like to do something good with it, the center, you would not be a lunatic way out in outer space if you gave us a big gift. Other people do it every year. They're just, I know we Buddhists are, you know, always thinking, well, money doesn't bring happiness and all kinds of things. But of course we have to have it in order to make the place run. And, you would not be a crazy outlier if you made a big gift for those who can, and those who can't is perfectly okay. So, planning next year's budget. We are happy that we already have the draft budget. It's going to be online on our website. And the board's already reviewed it once, and we'll be doing that again. And the present plan for 2019 is we've put in an allowance for up to a 2% pay increase for our four employees. Our center director has not directed that anything be done about that yet, but it's in the budget. We aren't planning any special projects, and we are going to try to balance the income and expense at $262,800, which is the same as this year's budget, within like $300 or $400. So basically, we're going to try to continue the Sunday teachings and the classes and the children's program and camp and the meditations and the visiting teachers and the retreats and everything else just about at exactly the same level next year as this year. And therefore, the expenses are going to be just about exactly the same. So that's what, that's the plan at the moment. And, if you would like to have any input in that, you're welcome to talk to me or any board member, and we're still making the plans for next year. So, the proposed 2019 expenses. Here's the way we think it's going to break down. This is the plan. Of course, it never happens exactly this way, but so personnel, by that we mean the salaries, the payroll taxes, the housing allowance, a little support for our nuns, travel, auto, insurance, retirement adds up to $155,000 or about 59% of the budget. Spiritual program expenses, about three committees, the children's program and the prison project, about 7%. Facility operating, which means paying the mortgage and utilities and everything like that, 18%. Administration, buying the bookstore goods, $12,000, all adds up to $262,800. And on paper here, of course, it balances. And we would be so happy if, in fact, at the end of next year, it did balance. And the proposed income for next year, here's what where we theorize it's going to come from. The annual appeal, the monthly and one-time giving, we are going to be asking for $204,000 in total in that campaign this year. That would be 78% of all the money we need to run the place. And then everything else is far more minor. The general giving, about 6%, spiritual programs, 5%, bookstores, 6 or 7, committees, 5, adding up to $262,800. Or to just reiterate the annual appeal, we've set the goal at $204,000, of which we're hoping that monthly pledges would bring in $123,000. That's where you make a pledge on a form or on the web, and normally people just have it automatically deducted by our financial processor from their credit card, their debit card, their checking account, and it just automatically flows in every month. That's how, I mean, people are welcome to actually walk in here with a check or cash, but that's not normally the way things are being done these days, when most of it is traveling electronically to us. And then the one-time gifts, $81,000, that's the same as we budgeted last year. And that's from those members who like to give a big gift, often near the end of 1 year or the beginning of the next year. And so that would add up to $204,000. So our long-term financial plans. Well, every year we have a budget that says we're going to break even. And some years we do a little better, and some years we don't quite make it. Last year we fell about $20,000 short, and that reduced the cash with which we entered this year, which is why, in fact, our checking account balance, one reason why it's so low. So I want to make the point that we balance spending money and volunteer work. We know that some people do have funds they can give and some don't. Some people have volunteer time they can give and some don't. And it's all welcome and it's all needed to make the center go. What's on our wish list? Well, paying down or paying off our mortgage. And secondly, growing our long-term fund. I haven't mentioned that. We do have a very modest account at Vanguard Investments. It's in stocks and bonds there. And it only has $4,000 in it. We call it the long-term fund, and it's intended for, say, someday when we need to remodel our space here, or possibly, you know, redo the classroom building or something, just long-term needs. And, you know, if somebody wanted to give designated for that, that's okay. There's only $4,000 there. That's the total of our assets, that $4,000 plus the $26,000, I believe, we have in checking and savings right now. That's all the cash we've got. There is good news, though, in the sense that we only owe $54,000 on the mortgage, which means that we own about 90% of this property and buildings. The bank has title to about 10%. And we're hoping, of course, in the next 30 months to change that to where we own it all. And then there in red, the wish list, create the IRA retirement plan. We did that this year, so we got that done. So wrapping things up here, for 2017, we had about 100 monthly supporters who paid an annual appeal donation every month. This year we've had about 110, and we hope to add to it next year. Becoming an annual supporter is something that you can do. Jill will be telling you a lot about it in the next month or two here. And you can do it. Normally we do it in the fall, but anybody who joins or decides to make a commitment throughout the year is welcome to start. And very welcome to begin monthly donations. And we're continuing to try to make the annual appeal a bigger and bigger part of our fundraising. We have sort of minimized other appeals during the year. We used to have a lot of occasions where we asked for donations. We've sort of minimized that and, in fact, shifted more and more to raising the money through the annual appeal. From the standpoint of trying to run the center, it is really good because we actually have something on paper that shows what we think is going to come in rather than just have it be completely unknown. For example, if people do make donations when we have a visiting teacher, but it's not always certain that they're going to be here or who it's going to be or how much will be given And so if we depend on that, you just don't know whether you're going to have income or not. So, a detailed copy of the 2017, 18, and 19 budgets and expense reports are on our website at kadampacenter.org, about us, budget reports. So you can look at them there if you really want to see a detail of about 100 different accounts that we have for income and expense. So in conclusion, all of the activity here depends on your generosity of volunteer time and dollars. Thank you, and keep up the good work. And if anybody had a question now, I think we'd have time for one or two. Yes, there's one in the back there. Julie?
Yes, there was somebody named Jill on the personnel side. Did you mention who she is?
Jill Marie, yes, center manager. Yes, she's right here, and she'll be in charge of our annual appeal. Should I say anything else about her? And Kim?
On the proposed expenses for next year.
Yeah.
So one of the line items was administrative expenses.
Yeah.
$22,000. Can you just briefly break that down a little bit more as to what administrative expenses really means?
Yes, I can.
Administrative
expenses. The question is, what is in that category? And the answer is the telephone bill, postage, office supplies, computer equipment, software, accounting and bookkeeping services, audio-video equipment, bank and merchant fees, the building security system, printing the annual appeal, dues and subscriptions to the FPMT, and charitable contributions to the FPMT, and meeting expense to go to the North American FPMT meetings. So that adds up to $22,775. That kind of detail is on the web there if people want to look over all that detail. Yes, ma'am.
I have to ask. I don't want to draw this out too long, but have you thought of slowing the mortgage payment or remortgaging the slow burn rate per month?
No. Have we thought of slowing the mortgage payments? We originally had a 15-year mortgage, and that is rather necessary. You can make them longer, but then you pay so much in interest. So we were just, in effect, challenged ourselves to pay it off in 15. And now with only 30 months left, it's only about 10% of our annual expenses. And so at the moment, anyway, the board's plan is just to go with it and pay the bills until we get it paid off at that rate. I mean, we could lengthen it out some, but we'd actually rather have the feeling that we own the whole building. Okay, I think that's it for now. You're welcome to ask questions later of myself or Robbie or any of the board members.